verse 16. When one turns to the Lord, that means that when you wake up in the morning and when you sleep at night, you turn your heart and your mind to the Lord. It's all you have to do. It's as simple as that. And the physical illustration would be a satellite dish. You know, your satellite dish, even your normal aerials, if we go up on your roof or wherever your aerial satellite dish is, and we just twist and turn it a little bit, your reception is going to go haywire. Because the satellite dish has to face the exact position where the satellite is to get the clear signal. And that is why they have this thing to sort of measure the exact direction of where the satellite is. And so all this satellite dish would be turned into the right direction. That's all we need to do. The rest, the signals just flow through. You never hear your satellite dish after turning say, "Oh, where's the signal? Oh, where's the signal?" The only time you lose the signals is when things blockade, like a sudden rain or weather change, and just for a moment, you know, the raindrops are hitting at it physically, and then the satellite has to adjust to the new conditions. But otherwise, all it needs is to turn in the right direction and the signals come through. So all we need to do is every day, in our heart and in our mind, turn it to the Lord. And all His revelation and all His experiences that He wants to impart for that day will come to you. Just turn it in the direction of the Lord. Now your next question is going to be, which direction is the Lord? Up, down, and you know we Australia, up for us is down for everybody. Right? We are on this side of the earth. And some people say, oh, towards the north. Well, you know, that's a bit too physical. Although the Bible says, you know, on Mount Zion, the sides of the north. Which way do I turn? How do I do what? You know, how do I do? Do I get up in the morning and face the east? Face the west? Face the north? Face the south? In the Old Testament, it was easy. When they got up, they just had to face the direction of Jerusalem. Which is, by the way, what the Muslims do. The Muslims have to find out the direction of where Mecca is, and they must face Mecca from any part of the earth. And pray in that direction. So they have a physical longitude and latitude. But what about Christians where Jesus says in John chapter 4, no longer do you worship in a temple nor on this mountain like the Samaritan, but you worship God in spirit and in truth. So which direction do we turn and where do we go? Inside those very verses is the key. Worship is the only way you can turn your heart and mind to God. Worship is the only way you can turn your heart and mind to God. So when you get up in the morning, when you sleep at night, before anything else, before you try to read the Bible, before you try to do anything else, worship Him. Worship Him in whatever style, whatever manner, whatever way you do it. You know, when you get up with a piano, with your voice, with your whatever prayers, just worship Him. And when you have worshipped Him, your heart and mind are tuned in the right direction. And when your heart and mind is in the right direction, you can behold the Lord. And then the rest takes place. Makes Christian life very simple. So New Year's, as the New Year come out, please don't do resolutions like what the world does. Because you're using Old Testament law to change yourself. Just love the Lord and worship and just dedicate yourself to God. It's good enough. But every day, worship the Lord. And I'll close with Matthew chapter 4. I could have taken Luke 2, but Matthew 4. And have you realized that in the temptations of Jesus in Matthew 4 and Luke 4, also found in Mark 1, that there were actually more than three temptations? He was tempted and tested for 40 days and 40 nights. That's a long time. By the devil himself, personally. For 40 days and 40 nights, Jesus was tested, tried, tempted. Everything that can be thrown at him was thrown at him. Now, this is a question I like to ask. Why, of all the hundreds of temptations, only three were recorded? Why three? There were more than three. There's a lot of temptations. Because within these three temptations are a summary of every temptation he has ever been tested with. These three temptations summarize every other temptation. Plus, these three temptations also Jesus provide the key to how to live our life when he overcame them. So it was a powerful summarizing. And when Jesus responded to these temptations, he gave us three keys to live this life. In chapter 4, when he was asked to turn the stones into bread, Jesus says in verse 4, he gave the first principle, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He gives us the first principle of living the life of God. Every day, you must receive a word from the Lord. And then when he was taken up to the pinnacle and asked to throw himself down, Jesus in verse 7 says, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And the word says, it's tempt in a negative way of testing the Lord. Now how do we tempt the Lord? We tempt the Lord by trying to go beyond his word. That is why it's important, it's important there to understand in verse 7, it is the same principle as pick up your cross every day and follow him. In other words, the only way we won't tempt the Lord is he be the Lord, we be his servant. Not the other way around. And every day we need to pick up the cross and say, we are following you, Lord. You lead the way. We will put you first in all our decisions. By picking up the cross every day and following him, you will not tempt the Lord your God. So it ties up with our principle number 3 that we have given. Then in verse 9, the devil tries to tempt Jesus by showing him all the glory of this physical world and says, all these things I'll give you if you will fall down and worship me. But Jesus in verse 10 says, away with you, Satan, for it's written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Now notice, worship comes before serving. Not serving and then worship. But worship comes first. And then the devil left him. And that principle is tied up to our principle is of making contact with the Holy Spirit. Every day. Think about it. If you were, and then just hypothetical, we can never be, okay, we can never be. But if you were in the place of the Holy Spirit, looking at our own lives, that Christians that are trying to struggle to live for God every day, and you are trying to make yourself known to them, and your presence known, because you are their helper, what is the most important thing that you want them to be conscious of? that you are there. That you are there. Do you know that the Christian life was not designed for you to live alone? You have a helper called the Holy Spirit. A helper is someone who comes alongside you to help you. And you know what the Holy Spirit has done? He is very, very smart. The first thing that He does when He touches our life and fills our life, observe what happened in Acts chapter 2 verse 4. What happened when they were filled with the Spirit? What were they doing? They were worshipping God, weren't they? Yes, they were speaking in tongues. Yes, yes, yes. The process, the mechanical part, it is speaking in tongues. But what were they actually doing? They were worshipping God in a new tongue. And so all the people around heard them worship God and speak about the great things of God in tongues that they never learned. So the essence of what was happening when the Spirit comes is to cause us to worship Him. So when the Spirit fills our life, His intention is not to make you shake. Although you can shake all you want. His intention is not to not give you all kinds of goosebumps. His prime intention is to set you in the correct place to tune towards God, which is the worship of God. So the first thing that happens when the Holy Spirit comes is to cause you to be turned towards God to worship Him. Because when that happens, everything else will fall into place. That is why when the Holy Spirit fills our life in Ephesians chapter 5 verse 18 and 19, it says, speaking to yourselves, in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. So every day, when the Spirit touches you afresh, He will cause you to worship Him. And just keep worshipping Him, whatever songs you know or don't know, or if you don't know the tune, just say the words or whatever, or you couldn't sing, just say it with your normal words, saying, Lord, I love You, I worship You. There will be coming, it can be in a psalm form, not just necessarily a song form. And psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. And as it comes into you, it could be a new song that God gave you. But as you worship God and you give just sufficient time to worship God, it doesn't need to be long. It just needs to have a quality from your heart. Quality. That means with all your heart. And when that takes place, transformation begins. Because that positions you to receive every other signal God has for you for that day. Let's go to God in prayer.